How's everybody? I'm alive. Say it with me. I'm alive. Can you stand up for a while? I want to check if you're alive. I'm alive. Take a limb. Check the person beside you, see if there's any pulse. Is the person alive? Can you greet the person beside... No, don't greet the person beside you. Can you look for... I'm going to give you a quota. Three persons that you do not know. And just shake the person's hand, tell the person your name, your address, your vital statistics, your zodiac sign. Can you just look for three persons now that you do not know and just share the love of Christ? Shake hands or whatever. Persons you don't know. Say this with me. I'm alive. My blood is flowing. My lungs are breathing. My heart is pumping. My spirit is receiving. Amen. I'm alive. Let's give the Lord a big hand. God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Please be seated. And those of you who have been going to the Living in the Light seminar, I heard that you had your empowering prayer for the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning. Yes? You want to give them a big hand? God is good. We rejoice with you. Husbands, raise your hand. Whoa. Some husbands are ashamed to raise their hand. Brothers, I'm going to ask you a question. Now, before you answer, I want you to pause for a while. Don't answer right away, okay? Think about it first. Now, husbands, I ask you the question. Look at your wife. Okay, now, while looking at your wife, answer and think about this question. Do you enjoy your wife? Or do you just tolerate her? Now, don't answer first, okay? You have the right to remain silent, and any answer you give me may be used against you in court of law. Do you enjoy her, or do you just tolerate her? Now, wives, both, okay. It's a safe answer. Now, wives, I'm going to ask you the same question. Look at your husband. Do you enjoy that man beside you? Or do you just endure him? Now, I bet that some years back, I would have asked you that question and your heart would do a lambada right there inside you and say, of course I enjoy my husband, of course I enjoy my wife. But after a few years, it's a little bit more difficult to answer. Gone were the days when you looked at your fiancé, you were still courting your wife then, you knelt down in front of her and you said, honey, you're like my dandruff. Why? Because I can't get you out of my head. Gone were the days when you looked at each other and you said, honey, you're like my asthma. Bucket! Because when I look at you, you take my breath away. But you look at each other now, it's a little bit more difficult to say that. And parents, do you enjoy your children? And children, do you enjoy your parents? And do you have friends that you really enjoy? You know, sisters and brothers, one of the blessings that God gives to us is that we can enjoy the people around us. And we're going to read from Paul writing to the letter, writing a letter to the Philippians. And it's an amazing thing what he writes about, because it's a very intimate, sweet, affectionate letter. And he really enjoys his friends. And we're going to learn some secrets on how to enjoy the people that God gives to us. Do you want to enjoy the people that God gives to you? We're going to read together this letter, this sweet, affectionate letter from Paul, St. Paul. Verse 3 of chapter 1. Are you ready? Together. I thank my God every time I think of you, and every time I pray for you all. I pray with joy because of the way in which you have helped me in the work of the gospel from the very first day until now. And so I am sure that God, who began the good work in you, will carry it on until it is finished on the day of Christ Jesus. You are always in my heart, and so it is only right for me to feel as I do about you. God is my witness that I tell the truth when I say that my deep feeling for you all comes from the heart of Christ Jesus himself. Do you like that passage? Amen. That's a beautiful word from Paul to his friend. And he will give you four keys. I'd like to discuss that to you. Four keys on how to enjoy people. Are you ready? Number one, be grateful for the good in people. Be grateful for the good in people. Because if you read Acts chapter 16, you find out that Paul had a bad time in Philippi. He shouldn't have been thankful. And yet verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I think of you. If you read Acts 16, he had a lousy, terrible time in Philippi. When he entered the town, he was illegally arrested. He was whipped. He was humiliated. He was thrown into prison. In prison, there was an earthquake. The end of the day, people asked him to leave town. He had a terrible time in Philippi. But then he says, When I think of you, I thank my God. When I think of you, I thank my God. He did not focus on the bad times in Philippi. What did he do? He focused on the good times. He did not remember the bad experiences. He remembered the good experiences. Now, brothers and sisters, if you're a human being, you've got your bad side and your good side. Your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your friends, they've got their bad side and they've got their good side. Are you going to thank God for the good in people? Husbands and wives, think for a moment. If you're having trouble with your marriages, and if you look at your husband and you say, yeah, I tolerate him. Yes, I endure my wife. If you're in that situation, I want you to go home, lock yourself in your room, sit down, get an empty piece of paper, get a pen, and write down 10 things. 10 things that are good about your spouse. And I can hear it already. Some people are saying, Domino Mai. Because I was talking to this wife, and she had the same experience, you know, where she said, I feel I'm married to a loser. I mean, I don't know why I married a guy. There's nothing good in him. And I said, come on, write down 10 things, 10 good things about your spouse. And she says, wallahi, he chose me, number one. And then so I tried to help her. Does he help in the house? You know, like fix this and fix that. He's lazy. Okay. Does he cook? He doesn't know how to cook. He heats water and gets burned. Does he do this? I was running out of options and suggestions when finally I hit one. I said, does he know how to eat? Yeah, he eats well. In fact, and then her eyes lit up and she said, he likes my cooking. He adores my cooking. He eats so well. That's number two. He likes my cooking. He eats so well. And then later on she says, actually when I think about it, my husband is not demanding. Mababaw yung kaligayahan niya. Yung talagang he can be so easily pleased. I just cook a little bit or I serve him. Write that down. You know, he's not demanding. And then come to think of it, he's also not possessive. He gives me freedom. He lets me go out with friends. He lets me do my interests and my hobbies. He's not possessive. You know, at the end of the session, she wrote so many things. She said, I have a wonderful husband.
Yeah, it's a matter of thinking. You take for granted the good because you focus on the bad. He's lazy, he doesn't fix the house, he doesn't know how to cook. But when you look at the good side, you say, thank God for the good things in my husband and thank God for the good things in my spouse. Now, brothers and sisters, understand that in the midst of your relationships, there are good things that you can thank God for. Lesson, remember the best and forget the rest. Say that with me. Remember the best and forget the rest. Number two, there is something better than positive thinking. You know what it is? Number two, it's called positive praying. Because people can reject your help and people can refuse your advice, but they will be helpless when you pray. When you say, thank God for my husband, thank God for my friend, thank God for this person in my life, for my parent and for my boss and for community member. The quickest way to change a relationship from bad to good is to start thanking God in prayer for them. You know, when you start praying for the people in your life, the temptation, if you're like me, the temptation is to generalize. Lord, bless them. Amen. That's all. And it's easy to say, bless them, Lord. But if you read St. Paul on how he prays for the Philippians, it's very specific. It's full of details. I remember Christy, a sister from community, was telling me that she had a friend who, an old woman who went to confession one day. And, you know, she's been going to confession years, so it's almost like routinary. So she wasn't thinking very well. She knelt down, and instead of saying, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, she said, and bless the food which you're about to receive from your bounty for Christ our Lord. And the priest interrupted and said, what are we going to eat? You know, the word bless and bless them, it is such a misused and common used word that we need to pray more specifically. And St. Paul says in verse 9 to 11, and this is my prayer for you, Philippians. It's very specific, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is the best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ to the glory of God the Father. You've got, you know, let your love increase, may you have more discernment to know His will, may you be pure and blameless. It was a specific prayer, and if you can do that, you will enjoy more the people in your life, because as you pray for them, your love for them will increase. Number three, third key, be patient on their progress. Say that with me. Because verse 6 of chapter 1 says, being confident of this together, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I want you to read that again. It's such an important keystone passage. Together. That he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, what he starts, he finishes. Amen? God is a God who does not start a project and then leaves it, drops it off, and picks up another. He's not like you and me. When he picks up a project, he ends it. He finishes it until the last chapter. He will finish the project. You are God's project. Your wife, your husband, your spouse, your child, your parent, these are God's project. And if they're in Christ, God will finish them. Have you ever seen a house under construction? Raise your hand. You ever seen a building under construction? Is it in a mess? Even how beautiful that building will be, no matter how wonderful and fantastic the drawings of the architect is, if it's under construction, it's a mess. You've got piles of wood on one side. You've got cement dust swirling around. You've got wires and you've got scaffolding. It's ugly. But you see, it's because it's under construction. And you are under construction. Be patient with yourself. This is your good news. I'm going to proclaim good news to you. Are you ready? You see, I've made a lot of bad decisions in my life. And I've sinned against God a lot of times. I've messed up my life. But I want to thank God that God will finish me. I want to thank God that God will make me holy and that God will finish me and make me perfect. And I'm going to be patient with myself. But God is saying, be patient with the people around you because they're under construction. Can you say that with me? The people around me are under construction. I'm going to be patient with them. Amen? Rejoice? God will finish you up. He's gonna complete the work He began. Rejoice. Rejoice.
Let's fill in the blank. God isn't finished with us yet. Our mistake, this is our mistake, is that we judge others by how far they have to go rather than how far they have come. Amen? Did you get that sentence? I'll say that again. We judge others, our mistake is that we judge others by how far they have to go rather than how far they have come. And key number four is to love from the heart. Say that with me. Love from the heart. You know, one of the problems why many marriages are crumbling today is that people, spouses, are no longer loving from the heart, but simply loving from the mind. If there's one part of your life that you've got to love with your mind, it's at courtship, and only at courtship. When you're in courtship, you've got to love with your mind. You've got to be in courtship, and before marriage, entering into marriage, you've got to have your two eyes wide, wide open. But once you get married, you've got to love with your heart. You've got to have those two eyes half closed the rest of the time. Do you get me? What am I saying? I'm saying that when your wife wakes up one morning with tears in her eyes and she says, "Darling, I'm depressed." Now, there's a temptation in you, my dear brothers, to love your wife with your mind. At that point when she says, "I'm depressed," the temptation is to love with your mind. "Honey, matagal na tayo sa renewal. Trust in the Lord. Whatever is bothering you, surrender to God." Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." Ika nga ni Don Moen. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Wives, if your husband say that to you, I'm going to give you permission to say one very expressive word. "Hey!" You know, at that point, husbands, your wife does not need Don Moen. Your wife does not even need Bo Sanchez. Your wife does not need preaching. Your wife needs a friend who will love her and accept her right there where she's feeling. This is what you do. Put your arms around her. Let her head rest on your shoulder. Stroke her hair a little bit. Kiss her forehead and say, "It's okay. It's okay. Why are you depressed?" And then she says, "Kasi kanina umaga, I looked at the mirror and dami ng wrinkles. Tumatanda na ako." Now when she says that, husbands again will have the big, big temptation to love with your mind and say, "You love. You love. Love naman. How can you be so vain? You have a soul to last forever. Store your treasure in heaven where thieves will not steal and moths will not destroy. Indeed, we believe that when this earthly tent of ours shall pass away, we shall find a new home. A temple made by God, not made by human hands, but by the hands of God." If your husbands will answer you in that way, wives, I'm going to give you again the permission to say, "Buise!" Love her with your heart, not with your mind. At that particular point, you just put your arms around her again and say this, simple lang, "I will be here." "You can cry on my shoulder when the mirror tells us we're older. I will hold you." Come on back. "And I will be here to watch you grow in beauty, to tell you the things you are to me." Parents, by the way, husband, I'm not through with you. You know, no, I'm through with you. I'll go to. You know, sometimes with the husband, wives, I'm gonna talk to you. Wives, it's so tempting to love your husband with your mind when he says, You know, we've been discussing this decision left and right and for many days now. I think we really should do this. Your husband says that. You know, the temptation is to go right in and say, love, I think I'm right and I think we should follow my decision. The temptation is to love with your mind, but look behind the words and understand that you've got to love with your heart. That many men in that category would say, I'm the head of the home, I'm the head of the home, I'm the head of the whole home. Diba, love? Oh, I'm the husbands have a, what they call, I got this from Pio, he said, sometimes wives give their husbands asthma. And it's not because they take their breath away, but it's because every decision that they make, you know, kids will say, Dad, gagawin ba natin to? Will we buy that? Will we go here? And the husband will say, asthma. 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 But it's important that wives love their husbands with their heart and to be able to say, and to listen. It's important to listen. When your teenagers are speaking to you, it's important to love them not with your minds but with your heart. And sometimes even if they speak a foreign language, you've got to learn how to listen to them. When teenagers speak, they start their sentences with a word like, and then they use that word every other word. Like, mom, like, I want you to like understand me, like, you know, I mean. And I'm not dissing you or anything like that, you know, but like, I want you to listen, like, you know, to me. And if you're a parent, you know, the temptation is to love with your mind and you say, I don't understand a word you're saying. Now, will you, I want you to know this. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, give a lecture. Loving with your mind. That's not what they need. They need love from the heart. They need to know that you're there for them and you're their friend, that they want you to listen and understand them, to go to their level, and if you have to speak their language, son, like I like want to like listen like to you, you know. I'm exaggerating, but the point is, if you want to enjoy the people in your life, you've got to focus on the good and thank God for the good. You've got to pray positively for them. You've got to be patient with their progress, and you've got to love with a heart. And when you do that, you're going to enjoy the people in your life. Amen? And this is what you need. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. You need God to pour out His love into your hearts by means of the Holy Spirit, who is God's gift to you. You know, this talk, let me conclude in this way. This talk is not for people who are in abusive relationships. There are some people that you should not enjoy, not even tolerate. This talk is not for people who are locked up in abusive relationships. If your husband is beating you, if your husband is physically abusing you, or extremely emotionally abusing you in any way, you do not enjoy that. You do not tolerate that even. You stand up and you say, I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. I'm leaving you. I'm not going to come back. I'm not going to let you come back until you get into some therapy, until you get some counseling and change. Is that clear? On October 26th, I'm going to give a talk entitled How to Minimize Conflict. But a part of that talk is how to start a conflict. Because there are some people that you have to pick a fight with. That there are certain people who are manipulative, exploitative, right? And abusive. And they're locked up in some type of codependent behavior that you have to declare your boundaries and be able to say, no, love demands that I drop off this relationship, even temporarily, until you change and until I change. Is that clear? No, it's not. It's confusing. Don't worry. I get confused sometimes. But more on that on the 26th of October. But for most of us, God wants us, if you're not in those kinds of relations, I think most of us are not, most of us, this is the talk for you. Enjoy the relationships that God has given to you. Rejoice in them. Can I ask the couples to, why don't you stand up? Married couple. Be proud you're married. Okay, what you do is you hold hands, and then I want you to look at each other. Don't look at me, at each other. Okay, now say this together. I thank my God every time I think of you. I thank God for the blessing that you are to me. And I pray I will be a blessing to you. Thank you for loving me. Why did I do that? Okay, we're going to have our offertory. Let's be generous as God has been generous to us. Offering and say this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me blessings that I can offer back to you. Use this, Lord, for the expansion of your kingdom. I offer this with love, but I also offer this with faith. I know that you will bless me, provide for all my needs. And thank you, Lord, for being true to your promise. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. We love you. You need a blessing for the week. You need a blessing for the people that you have to enjoy life with. And so let's pray for that. And make your hands now open that they become a testimony of the kind of expectant faith you have that God will bless you for all that you need for the week. And Lord Jesus, I pray for a blessing for your people, that their love may increase, that they may grow in discernment, that they may be pure and blameless in heart. And that this week, Lord, I pray for all their needs. If they have financial needs, provide for them. If they have emotional needs, I ask you to give them the strength. I pray that for spiritual strength also to say no to temptation and to love you more. I pray, Father God, for their work. I pray for the family. Most of all, Lord, this morning, I pray that you may give them the capacity to enjoy the people in their life. Enjoy their family, enjoy their friends, enjoy their community. Give them that capacity to look for the good in people and to find you in these relationships. And Father, I believe that you will answer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father. We worship you. We honor your name. We glorify you, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Sunday. God bless you.